This is Lennon Mishi from the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network, community-led strategies for creative and heritage-based interventions in sub-Saharan Africa. We are funded through the Arts and Humanities Research Council and the Global Challenges Research Fund to explore how approaches from the arts and humanities can address contemporary forms of enslavement by adopting a community-engaged human rights focus that delivers development impacts. In this podcast, we discuss some of the commissioned work that has been produced through the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network and their collaborating partners. Hi, we're here in Legon, Accra at the University of Ghana, and we're talking to Neil Collins, who are part of the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network project called Hidden Histories. If you'd like to introduce yourselves and just tell us a bit more about your project.
Yeah, so my name is Colin Sema Smith, and from Jamestown, and director of Jamestown Community Theatre Center. And I was part of the project for Hidden Stories in Jamestown. We are trying to have a look at modern day slavery in Jamestown and connecting it to the colonial slavery in Jamestown.
Yeah, my name is Ni Kwatelaipote. I was also the manager for the Jamestown Working Tours. Like my colleague Colin said, this was a project that had three phases. So the first phase was where we had interviews with people who had gone through have lived experiences of modern day slave trade. We also interviewed people on the issue, the same issue, who don't have any lived experience at all in modern day slavery. So out of these interviews, we were able to write a script for a drama, which we took to schools and also the Jamestown community. At the end of every performance, we engaged with the audience in a post-drama discussion, and they were able to confront an issue which a lot of people don't want to face. So this gave them the opportunity to actually confront the issue of modern-day slavery and the link that it has with historic slave trade. Another product of this particular research was a third phase, which we were able to identify in the course of our interview with the locals in Jamestown some historic sites that are related to Jamestown, but a lot of people don't know. So this gave us the opportunity to design a virtual tour of Jamestown to share it to the world of people who would not be able to come to Jamestown physically. Mm. But they would be able to take a tour with us virtually. By so doing, the knowledge is disseminated for a larger group of people.
So just following in from that then, what would you say have been the highlights of using this sort of arts-based approach to anti-slavery work? You know, what have been the moments that have sort of, for you, made it apparent that these are useful approaches to the work? And similarly, you could also reflect maybe on the challenges then.
What has been our highlight for this project is the theater performance. We were able to have the privilege of showcasing the performance, which is on modern day slavery. So this performance was scripted out of the research that we did, and so we were able to get something out of it, which young girls have been exploited, have been forced or lured to the Gulf states, and also where some of the young boys in the community were also trafficked to the Volta Lake to go to fishing. And so out of that, we were able to get this story and script it, which was scripted by me, and I directed the play or the theater. So during that, we were able to reach more than 500 people. I mean, students, and also we also invited community members and international community to come and watch this performance in a Jamestown Community Theatre performance. So out of the performance, and people shared their experience, what they've learned, and what triggered them. So in the schools, we were able to get information from the students that after the performance, they wrote down what they've learned, and out of that, when you read some of the things that came out, it was shocking. Some people were like, it opens their mind, like, oh, so this is really happening in Jamestown. And also one of the highlights also is through the interviews, we ask people whether they are aware that slavery happens in Jamestown, and some of them was, no, we've heard of it, but it didn't happen in Jamestown. Another group also said, yes, we know something similar happened here, and you can also trace to some family houses in Jamestown that were involved one way or the other in slavery, that is colonial slavery. So, and Jamestown has now, comparing it to modern day slavery, Jamestown has become a recruitment center, and also a recruitment place or recruitment community for modern day slavery, and also the destination of modern day slavery as well.
And in terms of the challenges of using this approach, or some of the challenges that you may have confronted in your work?
I think one of them, it's also the one of the main challenges in a research like this, where people are having to share their personal experience, traumatizing experience. So that's a major challenge in trying to get people who had gone through an ordeal that is so poignant, but at the same time, the use of the arts base gave them the receptacle to be able to ventilate or express some of deep-seated pain within them in a very creative way. And by so doing, this helps with the process of healing. And the fact that they are having this being shown to the community of what has happened to them gave them a certain relief of something that they've been living with for a long time. And the surprising thing was that most of these people who had gone through this haven't gotten the opportunity of somebody actually asking them. Everyone knows that this person went through this, but nobody had actually had the time to say what really, really happened to you. So it's been on their chest until they got this opportunity to use the art base and this the whole issue of embodiment of how things, because this could be toxic. So in a toxic energy. So how do you deal with a toxic energy? And so the theater gave them that opportunity.
So in this particular case, are you also then suggesting that there's an absence of the infrastructure to support survivors of these kinds of exploitation that an arts-based approach can fill in? Are you saying that there's a gap here where people who have survived particular kinds of exploitation in a space where particular institutions or structures that could maybe provide rehabilitation and support and reintegration, arts-based approaches could be utilized?
Yeah, we'll say yes, because when we interviewed the survivors and we asked them, like, when they came, were they, like, have they gone to some institutions who they can pour out their situations, they can pour out their stories, but we got to know that there's none for these people. So interviewing them, for them coming up and having this this approach using the arts to sort of like pour out what they've gone through, for them, like my brother said, for them it's like a relief for them, pouring out what they've gone through using the art, for them is quite fulfilling.
So what do you think would be useful then in applying these kinds of arts-based and performance-based approaches to support survivors of modern slavery or exploitation in your community and in your context? What kinds of support what stakeholders would you like to work with in order to provide that particular kind of space, whether it's rehabilitation, whether it's therapy, creative approaches to reintegration? What sorts of work or support?
Yeah, I think with that, we can collaborate with social welfare in our local, in our locality, Jamestown. We have a social welfare office in Jamestown. So if we are able to identify these survivors, we can work hand in hand with social welfare so that we can see how they can integrate them, or they can, I mean, hear their stories so that they can connect them to various NGOs or various institutions that can help them out.
Yeah, I would also add that, for instance, the performances in the school, what it did was to expose, so one of the findings was that most of the girls that get to go to the Gulf States happen to be mostly senior high school graduates or junior high school graduates. So taking it to the school like that exposes them to all the potential risk, which means that they are able to, before even having to be in a position like that, they might have reflected on it. So this gave them also, created a certain awareness in a way that they might not actually have seen it happening. So when people talk about these things, yes, people hear it, but when you have it reenacted, that imagery always stays with you. And that is what these art-based approaches did with this particular study.
Did you find in your experience that, like you're saying, people saying, oh, you know, this slavery doesn't exist here in Jamestown, did you find that there was a resistance, or was there any resistance at all to making the connections between historical, what you call colonial slavery, and modern day slavery, forms of exploitation?
Yes, there was, for instance, on the issue of the link between historic and modern day slavery. Mm. Some of the participants that we interviewed practically said that Jamestown was seen more as a mercantile city, which means that what really happened there was mostly commerce. And they always refer to the fact that the first harbor was built in Jamestown. So, and again, they will say, look even at the physical forts that were built, and they are too small. And a lot of people also have forgotten the fact that the re-engineering of forts that originally were slave-holding sites into prisons means that the memory of what these places were used for is eroding gradually, because a lot of people associate it with the door of no return. So once you go into the James Fort or you go to the Asher Fort and you don't see the door of no return, then it means that this place was really not used for it. But people forget that it's actually been re-engineered to serve as a prison. So these were some of the resistance that people were putting up in the course of the...
And in terms of language, I mean, to say, when people were saying modern slavery doesn't happen here, is it something that could be understood as the language and the grammars of everyday life that people use to describe exploitation are not commensurate with the language of slavery?
Yeah.
So what then we are calling slavery here, people may be calling something else in everyday life.
Yeah, so with I'll say with the wording, because when you mention slavery, what comes in mind are people in chains and in shackles. But the reason why people are saying slavery doesn't happen, or modern day slavery is not existing or doesn't happen in Jamestown, because they don't see these people with chains.
It's not feasible.
It's not feasible. But so they see more of like, so it's more of like exploitation, exploring people. And exploitation can be found in so many ways. Like working with somebody without the equal pay, or when working with somebody underpaid, or like exploiting children, asking them to go and sell at the market, asking to go and sell by the roadside. And these are some of the exploitation that is going on. But people don't really see it as a form of modern day slavery, because there were no chains, there were no shackles and all that. Yeah.
I would also like to add that the Inga, the language that people speak in Jamestown, there are two words that come up in the discussion of slavery. The word Inga for slavery is Nyong. When you spell it or when you pronounce it, that word can also mean night or darkness.
Darkness.
There is a second word which is also it's called Momling. Momling means it has two definitions. So one means that it was that particular edifice is a fort or a fortress. It could also mean that it was also a prison. So there are so many homes in Jamestown with that name. And a lot of people want to quickly deny this, the fact that some of these heinous crimes happen, would quickly say, when they say Momling, it just means prisons, where people who had committed various crimes were just kept or they were sentenced, but really it's not the fault. But what people, I mean, referring to some of the literature, I realize that Professor Akosua Perbi, for instance, would say that even the chiefs that were, some people were, who could not have committed certain offenses, became enslaved to some of these courts in Ghana. So this particularly using of words and trying to what they connote and what they denote is actually also a big issue that we need to really look at. So that most of the time when we discuss these things, it's always been mostly in English. But how can we have try also to do a whole deconstruction or trying to demystify the whole issue of slavery and bringing it to how words that are gradually also getting lost in the system.
And contextualize the conversation around slavery. So to just round up our conversation, what sort of alternative approaches would you like to use going forward, either in addition to drama and performance or as part of drama and performance that might amplify your work, extend its sustainability or impact in your community?
Yeah, so I'll say for me, I feel the arts is the best way, or is a way we see it more feasible we can use, and we can also intensify going forward with doing more of research, going more deeper into research to unearth some of the hidden stories or some issues which are still not talked about, or some of the things, some situations or places in Jamestown which have not been talked about, so that we can go deeper and do more research and come up with facts and narratives.
I would also say that just this ended AKN meeting has exposed us to so many varieties of art forms that people are using as methodology to gather information. So quickly, what comes to mind, for instance, we could even use photo story. We could ask a question. Now people are also, at least the average Ghanaian has a mobile phone. So you could ask a question, and in people answering it, people can go to the town and bring photos of what it means when we say this, or their interpretation or their answer to certain questions.
And we can also add dancing, like dancing to it, like dancing workshops, so that people we can add movements or physical theater, and we can also add paintings, drawings, art to it to come up with more issues, come up with different strategies of addressing these issues.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to share some of your experiences in your project with us.
Thank you too.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Anti-Slavery Knowledge Network podcast, Creative Paths to Freedom. For more information on the work that the network is doing, please find us on Twitter, Instagram, and our page on the University of Liverpool website.